to go to my message to you today. And my scripture reading is in Mark 8. So let's go to the 34th verse. And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man also will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these words of instruction and truth. And Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on this message that we bring. And let your Holy Spirit lead and guide each one and anoint their ears that they will hear and understand as you would have. In Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. And my text is Mark 8 and 35. And let's look at that. "For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." And the title of my message to you today is Basic Laws. And we all are familiar with not only laws of God, but laws of country. There are certain great principles or natural laws by which we live and by which the universe functions. Biological laws must be observed. Mathematical laws, natural laws are silent and constantly at work. Consider the law of gravity. What goes up must come down, right? Consider laws this morning. Governmental laws regulate our business and professional relationships. And likewise, there are certain great spiritual principles or laws that govern life and happiness. And first of those I'd like to mention to you is the law of retribution. And in Galatians 7 and 8, we read, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Retribution. When we act a certain way, when we speak a certain way, certain things happen in direct regard to those things. What about the law of sin and death? In Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And this verse states three truths that affect us all. The wages of sin is death. And another way to look at that, is the payment for sin, or what you get by sinning, is death. Salvation, we know, is a free gift of God. So necessary. And salvation is through Jesus Christ. And by the blood that He shed on the cross for each one of us. It required a blood sacrifice. Just as in the oldest of days. If Jesus Christ had not died on that cross and shed His blood for every person, for all eternity, once and forever, then we would have no payment for our sin. The wages of sin is death. But when that perfect sacrifice was given, then we're not, as we believe and hold on to Yahweh, we're not under that penalty. We have accepted the blood and the sacrifice of Yeshua. Thirdly, the law of self-preservation. And let's look at Mark 8:35 again, and this is our text. Let's look at it again. For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Now, in that regard also, I want you to consider John 11, and we're going to start out with 1 through 6, and then we'll go to 17 through 26. John 11, 1. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to Him saying, Lord, behold, he whom You love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, He said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard that he was sick, He then stayed 2 days longer in the place where He was. Is that the reaction you would think that would be appropriate for Yeshua to make when one that he loved and a family that he loved was sick? I think that we would think that logically Yeshua would just rush to their aid immediately. But notice what Yeshua said with his words. God must be glorified. The Son of God must accept honor in all things. Now let's go to 17. And we're going through 26. So when Jesus came, He found that he had already been, Lazarus, in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning the brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatsoever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her brother, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Do you see that? Death is not the end. Death just leads us into another type of life. You breathe your last breath as a flesh and blood human being, and then you are in God's care. And many would say you are in God's presence. For to be beyond this life is to be in the presence of the Lord. In words that would shock us as if they were written in letters of fire, the teacher from heaven tells us that the only way to find real life, rich life, full life, is through self-sacrifice and self-renunciation to do the will of God and improve the welfare of others. Some people would leave out that last part. You are to be of help and comfort to your brother. You are to seek his betterment. And the great majority of us think of real life in terms of how easy we can have it, how comfortable we can have it, luxury, security. We need to face the fact that one can have all of these in abundance and still not be happy. I bet it's not one of us that have lived to be in their 20s or 30s or above that has not thought within theirself, if my family can just have a better house, if we can get a better car, if I can get a car that I can depend on, if I can get carpet for the house, then I'll be happy. You know, life will be full, meaningful. I'll then won't want for anything else for at least a good long while. Now, how true is that? It probably isn't 1 week before we're dissatisfied with something, before we're complaining, mumbling, grumbling about materialistic things. Sure, we can have it all materialistically and still not be happy. Gadgets do not have the capacity to satisfy the human soul. What's missing in some people's life? What they need to have self-worth, feelings of self-worth and contentment within that. There's a vast contrast between the popular ideas of today and the philosophy that Jesus taught. The law of the principle of self-realization through sacrificial giving is listed 6 times in the gospel, and I'll go over them real quick. Twice in Matthew 10:39 and 16:26, twice in Luke 9:24 and 17:33, once in Mark 8:38, and once in John 12, 25. Self-realization through sacrificial giving. Yeshua is our Lord and Savior, and He lived by these principles. And Jesus asked His disciples to give up their occupations when He called them to follow Him. They left their father mending the nets beside the boat in which they were to go out and make their living and catch fish. But He said, follow Me. And they left all of that and followed Him. Jesus asked the disciples to make family relations secondary to the work of the kingdom. He had done that. Did you know that Yeshua was the only begotten Son of Yahweh the Father? And He was given the task, if you want to word it like that, the job of coming to this earth as a human being and living it just like all other human beings up to a certain point, and then unjustly dying on the cross and shedding His blood so that the plan of Yahweh could be completely carried through. And human beings could then call on God through the blood of Jesus Christ for salvation. Jesus asked also His disciples to forsake safety for danger. Who's going to want to do that? Who's going to put themselves in a compromising position and perhaps have to forfeit their life? But that's what Jesus asked His disciples to do. And Jesus also did that. He did not offer His disciples peace, criticism. He did not offer His disciples, Yeshua offered His disciples poverty, misunderstanding, criticism, and a cross. He came not to make life easy, but to make people great. He did not offer His disciples peace, but instead those other things. Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that He might be our Savior. And by doing so, He glorified His Father, provided salvation for people, and experienced the highest possible destiny for His life. And this principle of self-realization through sacrifice is not limited to religion. In the field of athletes, you know, if you have a person that's constantly protecting himself against injury, that is constantly aware that he might get hit by another person and he's going to avoid that because he thinks, this would be the way that I could have the longest career. But by doing so, he puts his life in more jeopardy. And only the man that gives his very best achieves significant success. not the one who is constantly trying to protect himself. Give your very best, and success comes. Bible examples of both good and bad, we have John the Baptist that lived by this principle that we're talking about, self-realization through sacrifice. John the Baptist in John 3:30 said, and speaking of Jesus, Yeshua, he said, I must increase, he must increase, while I must decrease. He knew that it wasn't all about him. It was about the Messiah. It was about Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And speaking of him, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. Self-realization. And by degrees of sacrifice. Do you know the story of the priest and the Levite, and how the story was told in such of a way that they didn't believe in this law of sacrifice? Self-realization through sacrifice. The priest and the Levite didn't believe that, because as they went on their way and they came to the Samaritan that had been beaten and left to die, they both, the priest and the Levite, passed by the Samaritan on the other side of the road. But the other one in this picture was the Samaritan that came to this situation, and he didn't go on the other side. He went straight to the person that had been injured. And he helped that person and provided for that person. And immediately, and for whatever time period that it took for that person to be put on a good way to his health, to his welfare. They, the Levite and the priest, obviously did not believe in the law of sacrifice to reveal who we really are. And it revealed who the Levite and the priest really were. They really wasn't what they should have been. The rich young ruler did not accept this philosophy of life. You remember how he had all kind of possessions, and he asked Jesus, what do I have to do to ensure that I will be in the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, in essence, keep the commandments. And he ended up even going further than that and saying that sell all that you have and provide for others, and the rich young ruler said, I can't do that. He depended on materialistic things. He was not willing to give his all, as Jesus had called him to do, to even go further than living a good life, and even further than keeping the laws and the commandments. Jesus said, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, give to the needy, provide for those who need provisions. And he could not do that because he had much wealth. Lastly, if we would live a rich and full and satisfying Christian life, we cannot ignore that the principle, the law of self-realization, does come through self-sacrifice. If we would be true followers of Christ, we must say no to self-will and yes to Christ. We must say no to our natural love of the comforts of life and easy living. We must say no to every course of action that is based on self-seeking and self-will. We must say no to the instincts and the desires that prompts us to touch and feel and taste forbidden things. Whatever God says is forbidden, we better not find ourselves doing. It doesn't matter if it's the dietary laws or our relationships with our brothers and sisters and neighbors outside of the church. Whatever Yahweh makes clear that is the way that we should live our life, we need to find ourselves doing that. Whatever the forbidden things are of God, we need to know what they are and we need to do them. We must say yes to the will of God and to the call for self-giving love. Self-realization comes through self-sacrifice. If you would you stand with me this morning? Let's all bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed day. Thank you for each one that's here. We ask your blessings on them. Bless the loved ones, bless the family, bless the friends. And Heavenly Father, help us all to realize that we need more of your presence. We need more of your truth. We need more of your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. And Heavenly Father, let us be open in mind and in heart to receive what you have for us. Let us be willing to give sacrificially so that we will know self-realization for us. And Heavenly Father, through Yeshua's name, we ask all these things and amen. Let's read the blessings of God to us and to each other. Let's read together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.